Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
I tell you what, while you're standing, just stay there for a bit. We're going to read our text for today. It's 1 Corinthians 1:10. It's going to be up on the screen. It's down about five slides there. I don't care. We'll just do it some way. There you go. Can y'all read this with me? All right. Sort of our, this is the core verse to the book of Corinthians. All right. This is the, what they call the key verse to understanding the entire book. And this is why the Apostle Paul wrote and used these words. Could we say this together out loud? I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. United in mind and thought. Father, I pray that today you would bless the hearing of your word and cause me as I speak it appropriately so that our lives would be changed. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Please be seated. All right, so a little boy was walking down a dirt road after church one Sunday, and he's going along, he meets a little girl, and she's coming, they come and they start walking down the road together, and the little girl said, hi, where are you going? He said, I'm going home. So where you been? She said, I've been at church. Said, oh, okay, so where you been? She said, I've been to church. He said, well, where'd you go? And she said, I went to the Catholic church. He said, I went to the Baptist church. He said, okay, that's cool. So they walk a little further, and it had rained, so there was a big puddle in the road, and they had to get across. So the little boy says, why don't we just take off our clothes, put them on our head, walk through, and that way I won't get yelled at when I get home. Mom says, little girl says, that sounds like a good idea. I don't want to get my dress dirty. So they do that. They walk through the puddle. They get to the other side, and the other boy on the other side looks over and says, wow, I didn't realize there was that much difference between a Baptist and a Catholic. If that offends you, you're probably in the wrong church. Because today I'm talking about unity. Today I'm talking about the things that the Corinthian church faced, because we've been talking about this. The Corinthian church faced the same issues that we as people in America, we as believers, we as human beings face, and that is the tendency to be divided over stupid stuff. Why do families split? Why are there so many broken relationships? Why are there so much racial tension in our culture? Why do churches split? Why are there so many denominations? The other day I was talking to a guy and we were talking about, we're talking about God, and he's a young man that's been with the same woman for 17 years, raising a 16-year-old and 11-year-old, he's out working hard for a living. And I said, dude, I respect that. And I respect somebody who works for a living and stays with one woman, because that's unusual in our culture. I respect that. And talking to this guy then, that opened up the door, you know, the fact I was telling him I respected his stances. And then he started opening up and talking to me. And as he was talking to me, he comes across, he asked, you know, about faith. That comes up because if you talk with me about 10 minutes, it's going to come up, not because I'm a preacher, but because if you cut me, I bleed. Let's lead somebody to Jesus. That's what comes out of my pores. So anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and I start talking about faith, and he starts talking words of faith, and then he says something a little awkward. I said, so what's your background? He said, Jehovah's Witness. I said, oh, okay, Jehovah's Witness, huh? Okay. I said, can I show you some stuff from the Bible? He said, what? I said, would you take a couple of minutes? Let me show you a couple of things from the Bible. I said, I asked him about why he was Jehovah's Witness and all this. So there's a lot that goes in before we get to this point. But I get to this point, and I told him, you know, the problem I have with the Jehovah's Witness, the problem I have with Jehovah's Witness are this, okay? Can it be really honest? The reason there's splits between our fellowships are this. They read the Bible, and the parts that don't agree with their preconceptions, they don't pay attention to. No, you've never done that, right? You have a preconception about something and somebody else presents a fact that opposes your fact, and guess what? They don't pay attention to it. So I showed him from the scriptures very clearly that Jesus is God. From the scriptures, just simply opened up and showed it. And he said, wow, I never was told this. Because here's what happens. Why so many divisions? Why so many splits? Why do you have so many problems in your family? I'm just simply bringing out the divisions in the church to simply make an acknowledgement of the reason there are so many divisions. Number one, we do not gather around the truth. We gather around our opinions of the truth. So we tend to pay attention only to those things that support our presuppositions and arguments. My wife told me to be careful here, but I want to be very, very careful here. Because I was watching and doing some reading, I got all caught up in something. I just want to say to you, I was listening to some atheist conversations and watching some atheist stuff, all right? And I was listening to the way they were talking about God and the Bible and some other stories in antiquity. And I was like, really? Okay, all right, so I understand. But if you'll do your homework and you'll actually look at the facts, you're going to find out that a lot that's presented in the name of lack of faith is not really true. It's a twisting. For example, one person said the Apostle Paul did not live. Like, you literally want to tell me the Apostle Paul did? All right, so let's get off that. Let's go here. Anybody been on Facebook or something and seen these flat earthers? Anybody seen the flat earth people? Anybody heard anything about them? Come on, wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, all right. So anyway, there is a whole group of people out there that claim the earth is flat. And they're like, the earth is flat, the earth is flat, the Bible says so, blah, blah. No, it doesn't. The Bible says that God sits enthroned on the circle of the earth. But don't tell them that. Anyway, these flat earthers, how much do you have to disregard fact to get to the point that the earth is flat? So last night, I'm out for a walk. Me and my wife were walking around the neighborhood. And as we're walking around the neighborhood, we walk past this couple. We're like, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, we were just watching the space shuttle go around our space station. And I thought to myself, if you're a flat earther, what do you do with the space station going across? Does it go, yep, yep? Have you ever asked the questions? How much fact do you have to ignore to have a belief system? Yeah, we do it all the time. We do it in our relationships. We do it with our view of ourselves. We do it with the view of our spouses. We do it in our view with our family. We do it in regards to people of other races. We do it in regard to our own personal finances, and we do it towards God, and we do it towards God's people. We bring our presuppositions rather than accepting the facts. So I want to give you the presupposition that undergirds all that I do and all I try to teach you. And this is a presupposition of Harvest Ridge. Y'all ready? John 8:32. You will know the what?
Truth.
Truth, and the truth will set you
free.
I really don't care about your version of the truth. I want to know the real truth. Are y'all with me? I'm not saying you don't have real reasons for believing and thinking what you believe and think. You have real reasons for it. I want to respect that. But I also want to tell you, as much as I respect that, I also understand that I can be wrong and you can be wrong. And if you want to know what truth is, Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the truth. What is truth? Truth is the person of Jesus Christ. And that will be, you do your research, that'll be shown. So truth in the church needs a reputation overhaul. The church needs a reputation overhaul. You know why we need a reputation overhaul? Because I spent an hour last night going through Facebook over Christians fighting over one of the stupidest things you could imagine. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, people. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever heard two Christians squabbling about something that's the dumbest thing you've ever... Breathe, slow down. So we at Harvest Ridge, we want to embrace the truth, regardless of what it means to us, which will probably mean that we change our opinions. I don't think you got this. I'm expecting that we change our opinions. When you're confronted with truth that you must believe, you must change your opinion. I don't care how long you believed it. The truth brings freedom. So, in this body, we want to be a people who embrace truth, no matter what it is, and we want to create unity in the body, not cause divisions. So our church does something every September 2nd. We throw a party for our community, and we do this to give Jesus a good name in the community and to break down barriers with the unbeliever and the Church of Jesus Christ. So we're asking you to sign up for Harvest Palooza. We're asking you to work 1 hour. Work. Don't just be there. Actually work. And we're asking you to have one real conversation with someone who isn't from Harvest Ridge. And we stop and pray right now, Father, would the truth of every issue we struggle with come to light, and would we have the guts to accept it in the name of Jesus? Amen. All right, so this sermon series is rooted in a theology of party, and I'm not going to go there. So let's just say in Athens, Paul had the worst failure of his ministry. Then in Corinth, he found a culture that's ripe for the gospel message. But when he got there, remember, the Athenians, the people in Athens, everything was perfect. Everything, they thought they were high and mighty. They were all that. He gets to Corinth. He finds simple people who are work hard, play hard kind of people. And when he shows up, man, the gospel takes root. But then he leaves, and when he leaves, the old nature of work hard, play hard type people starts settling in. And do you know what that old nature first represents itself in? It represented itself in divisions. They started fighting over stupid stuff. And here's why. Because if you're a self-made person, like the Corinthians were, any self-made people? Self-made people are right about something, right? You don't go from nothing to something without being right about something. Am I correct? You got to be right at least about your job a little bit, right? Anybody ever been right? You ever been right in an argument or a problem or a struggle? You're like, yeah, I knew that was the right answer, and you went with it and things turned out good. Anybody ever been right in the room? Wave at me if you've ever been right. The problem with being right is this, is that once you're right in one area, you automatically think you're right in. Because we're arrogant, self-made people. And the first thing we need to learn about the church and division is this. Number one, divisions are bad. Divisions are bad. This is the American way. The American way is self-made people. Self-made people think they're arrogant and right about everything. And this is how we are with politics. This is how we are with our personal lives. This is how we are with everything. This is not new. John Adams, if you've ever read any history of John Adams, he may have been the best Christian to ever be a president of the United States. He may have been the most moral, upright, godly man ever to be the president of the United States. And he served one term. Do you know why he served one term? Because he was being trashed by all the people all the time. Because if you take a stand for what is right, people will trash you, right? So 1 Corinthians 1:11 says, my brothers, some from Cleo's household. So Paul is now, he planted this church in Corinth. He's now gone away, and he's writing back about 3 years later. This is written about AD 55. AD 55, Paul says, some from Cleo's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul, another Apollos, another I follow Cephas, still another I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul is saying to them, hey, listen, these divisions over stupid stuff are not right. Now, what are the divisions here? Now, some history. Let me give you history. Paul was the founding pastor, but he was not a very powerful orator. So 2 Corinthians 10:10 says, for some say, Paul's letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. So Paul was a very powerful leader, but he was not a good preacher. He was a powerful leader. He stayed there a year and a half, led the church into health, but he was not a powerful preacher. But it just so happened that a powerful preacher did show up in Corinth, And his name was Apollos. Now, Apollos, we find from Acts 18, 24, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. So this guy is a great speaker. So there's Paul, the strong, quiet leader, and then there's Apollos, the great speaker. Then there's Peter. Who's Peter? Peter is another division. He was the guy who was, he was the founder or the head of the church. Jesus said, you know, I give you the keys, you know, and he's like, yeah, Peter, what do I do with the keys? I walk on water, I sink, you know, I have a big mouth. I deny Christ three times, I'm restored. Peter, though, was at least a strong leader and a good speaker, and people followed him, and people loved him. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. Come on, he was a good speaker. He was a good leader, and people were like, yes, we don't follow the local guys. We go all the way to the head here, Peter. And then there are others said, no, that's not far enough up the chain. We only follow Jesus. Because you got to say it like that, Jesus. He needs an extra syllable to his name. Because super spiritual people have a way of making even the most mundane things sound spiritual. Do you know the people I have the most problems with in this world? Super spiritual people. Trust me, if you're looking for a demon everywhere, you're going to find it. Yeah. If you're trying to be super spiritual and have emotional experiences, trust me, I believe there are emotional experiences in the kingdom of God. I believe in the presence of God. God does touch your emotions. But I want to tell you that if you're looking for an emotional experience, I just need to feel the presence of God. I want to tell you something, that on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that moment, the moment of his least happy feelings, he was accomplishing the greatest work for God. Stop trusting your feelings and be a person of God regardless. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. So what we're dealing with here is a schism. People are dividing over the stupidest stuff. I know a church literally that they were going to recarpet their sanctuary, and they split over the color of the carpet. Well, they didn't actually split over the color of the carpet because this person had a power struggle, and this person had a power struggle, and people were dividing over this, and this person chose one color and this and the other, because it's never about what you're arguing about. It's always about something behind the scenes. Come on, anybody been married more than a day? You never argue over what you're arguing about. There's always something else underneath, because really it does not matter whether the potatoes are mashed or they're au gratin. Is this true or not? So what do we need? We need the truth. We need to get past the surface. We need to get past the schisms. In Wilmington, there was a pastor, literally, I pulled a group of youth pastors together when I was a youth pastor. I pulled this group together, and we put a radio show on the local radio, and we were working together to do stuff in the community, to reach the community and the teenagers. And this radio show, we played a song by Petra. Yeah, it was the 90s, and we played, "This Is My Creed," right? Yeah, and one of the leaders of the church, of this other youth pastor that was a major church in town, he heard the song on the radio and said, "They're playing that devil music. You aren't allowed to work with them anymore." So all of this work we had put together for 6 months fell apart because one guy didn't like one song on the radio. I'm like, dear Lord, what is the matter? Christians are stupid. We divide over the stupidest stuff. If you don't like the music, what do? Turn it off. It was a radio. You could have turned it down for 30 seconds. I guess it wasn't For Him. Does anybody remember For Him? I'm sorry. I'll move along. Do you know what you do when you're dividing people? Do you know? I used to split a lot of wood. In the winter, we would cut wood. And then we would split it. We would stack it up, and we would take it to people and sell it to them. So you know what I'd do when it came time to split wood? You've already cut the block, and so you lay the block up like this, and you look at the block, and there's this piece of wood, and every tree has a natural weak spot. Do you know that? So when you look at the natural weak spot, do you know what you see? You see a minor crack running this direction. So you don't try to split the wood this way. Where do? You line up the crack, and you hit it in the crack over and over and over and over again till it splits. The devil is not dumb. Do you know what he does? He knows where your cracks are, where your ego is big and where you're weak. And what he's going to do is he's going to put, when he wants to divide you from your spouse, your family, your church, from God, he's going to pick on that crack all the time. But the Bible says, though we are not unaware of his schemes, we know he's going to pick on these points of weakness. So what we need to do is we need to grow up and actually protect against those moments and places of weakness in our life. Let me make clear application. You married your spouse, or you attend this church, or you committed to Christ, or whatever it is, because you're in agreement. Let's just talk about marriage. You marry somebody because you're 85% in agreement with them or thereabouts. They say 97.6% of statistics are made up on the spot. But come on, for a vast majority, 80, 90% you're in agreement. Come on, you live in the same culture, you eat the same food, you liked each other enough to date each other, you listen to the same kind of music enough to hang out with each other, watch same TV shows, you know, had sort of the same values, you go to church, sort of the same values regarding your money. They're sort of, for the most part, you agree about a lot of the big stuff. But then there's that other stuff that you don't agree with. That little bitty 15%. So what happens is that you take that other 15% and you spend all your time focusing on that and you divide. What is that? James 4, 1 through 3 says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. You kill. You covet, but you do not get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. So you want something and you don't get it. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you can get your own flesh and pleasures taken care of. So it's like this. All right. I've raised three kids. Matter of fact, I had to change shirts because I got puke all over me a while ago. It was awesome. I hadn't had a baby puke on me in a long time. That was cool. Anyway, I raise kids. y'all ever go anywhere with your kids? Kids in the car? You guys that are younger, you ever remember being in the car and you're driving down the road? You know, you're driving down the road and you're hungry, but you got to go somewhere and see something. So you get out of the car and everybody's hungry and then you go see it. All right, so forget that scenario. Let me tell you this one. We did this not long ago, this exact scenario. We're going to get something to eat. And we didn't stop and get something to eat. Instead, we went for a walk before we went for something to eat. We were over at that mansion on the other side of town. And we'll eat when we get back. So we put the stuff in the cooler and we started walking up through the woods. Anybody ever done anything like this? So we're walking through the woods. We're going to eat when we come back. So we're walking through the woods and walking through the woods. But we get on a trail thinking the trail is going to be a mile. It winds up being 7 miles. You know how long it takes to walk 7 miles? Do you know what it was like? We didn't take water and we didn't take food. So we walked 7 miles while we're already hungry without any water or food. How do you think the conversation was going on the trail? Right. Hey, it's called being what? Hangry. Anybody ever been hangry? So what happens is your body has a need, and because you want something, you're mean to everybody in your circle. This text, I mean, come on, you ought to believe the Bible, if nothing else, for what it says about why you get in fights right here. Think about that. That's why part of the reason I believe these words are inspired is because they strike us today at our core. So why do you get in a fight? Often you aren't fighting about what you're fighting about. What you're fighting about is that you have an unfulfilled desire, want, or need, and because you have that unfulfilled want or desired need, you're angry about everything, and then you're angry and you take it out on the people who are closest to you. Divisions are bad because here's what we need to learn to do. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready? Here's how you handle fights and quarrels. Grow up. Amen. Understand that you don't get everything you want in life. Because if God gave you everything you wanted, your life would be miserable. Understand that God wants you to discipline your flesh. Not just let your flesh control everything about you. All right, so unity, to overcome these quarrels and fights, it requires a change. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, brothers and sisters, I would not address you as people who live by the Spirit. So he's yelling at them now about their fight. I wouldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit. Actually, the word there is psychikos, or pneumikos. He's not going to address them as people of the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. And the word there is sarkikos, or flesh, people who are of the flesh. It's like we were just talking about in James. What's happening is they're focusing on the flesh rather than the unity of the Spirit. And he calls them something after he says, you're only concerned about your flesh. He calls them what? Mere what?
Infants
in Christ. Because infants care about other people, do they not? When was the last time you saw an infant be self-sacrificing towards another person? No? Their diaper gets full, they cry until it gets changed. Am I correct? They're hungry, they cry until somebody feeds them. The problem is, at some point in this life, we need to grow up past infancy where we actually do something, which is, while we are suffering, we still serve others. I will in a minute. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food. You were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. And that's psychikos, which is different. You're worldly. That just means they're only concerned about the stuff around them. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like, and I love this line. This is the best line in the Bible. I know it says mere humans in your Bible, but trust me, the Greek says mere men. Because I understand it means mere humans, but I like it when it says mere men. Because I think the number one people in our culture that need to hear that you need to stop acting like an infant is men. Sorry, ladies. Sorry, ladies, I'm not giving you a pass, but I'm going to tell you, guys, we live in a culture where guys don't keep their commitments and act like adults. And I want this church to be a church where men are men of God and keep your commitments and act like adults. So you don't act like mere men, like mere human mortal men. For one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So there are five changes in this passage. Right here in this passage, there are five changes that you need to make to find unity. Number one, you need to go from flesh, or trying to gratify your body and your desires, to spiritual, where you're trying to gratify what pleases God. That means sometimes, y'all ready? Sometimes you do without physically so that others can be blessed. Sometimes you sacrifice what you want so that other people can get what they need. How do you get rid of disunity? You lay down your life so that others can live a better life. It's not always demanding your own way. It's not always giving in to your desires. Sometimes it's disciplining them and killing them. The second thing you need to do is you need to go from a child to an adult. You need to grow up. You need to go from a child to an adult. A child wants their own way regardless. It's right here in the passage. You can read it. Go grow from child to adult. You ever seen a two-year-old? I was at a store the other day, and this kid wanted something. I think it was ice cream. Ah! Screaming at the top of his voice, stomping his feet, all that kind of stuff. Deep breaths. No, why? That's how a child behaves when they don't get what they want, right? But yet I sometimes act like a child when I don't get what I want. I just don't do it on the outside, but on the inside I'm stomping my feet, right? So what an adult does is you don't just control the outside, you actually get control of the inside too. So you grow up from a child to an adult. Third thing is you go from milk to solid food. All right, so what does it take to chew milk? If you're chewing milk, you've got bad milk. It takes no teeth, you just drink it, it goes in, right? Digests real easy, comes right out real easy. Am I correct? Yeah? But when you become an adult and you got teeth, what do you have to do? Come on, anybody ever eat a steak? Yeah? Anybody ever eat a steak that wasn't quite as tender as it should be? Yeah, you gotta chew on that sucker, right? And potatoes. So let me, when you're young, when you're an infant, your view of the world is one-dimensional. This pleases me, meets my needs right through. But when you become an adult, you might have to chew on things. You might have to spend some time actually thinking about the different angles of the same point of view. I don't think you got that. What causes disunity in our midst is when we have full-grown adults that only have one dimension of any idea or thought or issue or problem. You know, there might be more than one reason in the world why things happen, rather than your oversimplified one-dimensional view. Do you know what you do when somebody's viewpoints are different than yours? You ready for this? This is huge. You listen. Ask, talk, and listen, and explain, not yell, not walk away. You talk about it. You don't debate. Come on, we don't need more debate. We need more conversation. The next change goes from your mere men. You go from being mere men, mere women, mere humans, to God's temple. It's amazing. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you, or your midst, and that your is plural? God's Spirit dwells in your midst. And if anyone destroys God's temple, what does it say God will do? Destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you, all of you together, are that temple." And what we need to do is we need to go from the fact that we are human beings and thinking it's all about us to seeing that we are a part of a body as the body of Christ, and we need to protect this body regardless. When you start thinking about yourself as more than just a human being, but you start thinking of yourself as God's real representation of himself on this earth, then you're no longer just a normal person. You are somebody with power, with authority, with purpose, with direction. You have a reason for existence, and you have a bigger reason than you can even imagine. All right, I'll move on because I'm not sure you're getting that. From lack to confidence. Lack to confidence, because he says this. He says, are not all things yours? All things are yours. 1 Corinthians 3, 21-23. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas or world or life or death or present or future, all are yours. So what would happen if you didn't view your life by what you didn't have, but you viewed your life by what God's given you? I'm talking about a total change of mind and a total change of thinking here. What would happen if you stop viewing the world through what you don't have and through your lack and what drives you crazy that you can't get, and you started being thankful for what you do have? What if you started investing in what God has given you instead of complaining about what God has given you? I go past people's yards and I know they don't put an ounce of effort into their yard. It looks like it, right? I go past people's marriages and I know they don't put an ounce of effort into their marriage because it looks like it. I go past people's spiritual life. Come on, y'all follow me? Value what God has given you and understand that he will give you everything you need. But why? Come on, why would I give my kid a car if they won't take care of it? Why would God give you a blessing if you won't take care of it? And what you have to do is understand that God has given you all you need, and if he thinks you need more, he will do what? But he won't give it to you unless you take care of it. And why would you, come on, anybody ever give somebody food? Anybody ever set food in front of somebody and they're like, I don't want that. You know what my words are? Well, then starve. And I think God is a lot like me in that moment. I'm projecting, maybe. Maybe. But come on. View your life through God's abundance, not through your fleshly desires. As a kid, I went into Rick's dad's shop. Rick's dad was a multimillionaire carpenter. And he built houses everywhere, made a ton of money. And I walked into Rick's shop with Rick, and Rick goes over to the bench, picks something up, grabs it, and starts doing something with it. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing? He said, it's all right. It's my dad's shop. You know what I would never do? I would never walk into Rick's dad's shop and grab stuff off the shelf and start pounding on it. But Rick could. Do you know why Rick could? Because it was really all Rick's. I don't think you got this. Do you know what you've got? You are an heir to God Almighty, who makes and controls the universe. Everything you need is provided for you in Him. Quit looking at life like I did in Rick's dad's shop and start walking in like Rick did and know my dad owns it all. Everything I need is covered by Him. So, if we're going to move from schism or division to unity, we're going to have to unify ourselves around a couple of truths. Number one, we need to quit being concerned about our flesh and start worried about what God wants. Number two, we need to quit being children. We need to become adults. Number three, we need to go from the simple, one-sided approach to everything to maybe some complexity and try to understand and broaden our mind. Number four, we need to quit thinking like mere humans and start thinking like we are God's temple. And number five, we need to move from lack to confidence, and in doing so, we can deal with these problems that we face every day. So God desires unity. Here's how I want to stand today. We got like 2 minutes. Can y'all play? All play? You know what all play is, don't you? That's what everybody's saying. All skate. Remember all skates? When I was a kid, we went skating. All skates. That means everybody's back on the floor. Can we take 2 minutes? Would you turn to one or two people around you? I tell you what, would you stand? This will make it easier. Please, we're locking the back doors. Nobody's allowed to escape. 2 minutes. This is really simple. Here's our dialogue. Ask their name. Ask them if there's anything big you can pray with them about. And when you pray, please do not pray a long spiritual sounding prayer. Pray, God help Joe with his car. Amen. The reason I'm asking you to do that is I don't want anybody shown up by your great ability to pray. All right? This is real simple, right? Do you believe God hears that prayer as much as a long, flowery prayer? All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask their name, and then we're going to ask you to ask them if they have anything big you want to pray about, and then keep your prayer to like two sentences at the most. That way, everybody's on foothold. Can you say two sentences? Can you say two sentences? I know you. You can say about 15. Keep it to two, all right? All right, we're going to do this. You got 2 minutes. Ready? Go.